This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
As we go along, let us study the male anatomy. Most men know less about their own bodies than they do about their automobiles.
The following feature has been rated R.
Don't panic.
This program contains coarse language.
It is recommended for people aged 15 years and over.
Are you ready? Sit back, turn up the volume, and enjoy our show.
Welcome.
Good evening and welcome to Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. I'm Dean Beck, and a very fine evening to you, Benny B.
Thank you, Dean. How are you?
Lovely to see you.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm on my way here to the studio tonight. I think we're going to do a show about this. It turns out to be a show about that. You know, we're always thinking on the fly.
We have a great show for you tonight, actually.
We do.
We're going to have a little look at fuck buddies first up. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to talk about a very interesting fundraising event coming up.
Okie dokie.
And we'll be joined by Warwick Emmanuel from Prep Access Now, who will talk to us about this interesting new way of raising funds.
I like the sound of this.
So do stick with us, because I promise you it is like nothing you've ever heard of before.
Excellent, excellent.
I'm just back from a big conference.
Tell us. You've been to Adelaide and you came back.
Yeah, look.
What did you learn, Dean?
Adelaide, I learned that Adelaide has actually exploded in a whole new realm way in the last 10 years since I was last there.
Okay.
It's kind of modern and fresh.
Oh, how about that?
Yes. Brand new airport when I landed. It was like, I don't remember this. And there are new buildings everywhere and, yeah.
Well done, Adelaide.
That's Adelaide. But Ashen was amazing, actually.
Very important, yep.
I was very busy on the ground there, launching the new My Life Plus app, which if you haven't checked it out at mylifeplus.com.au. If you're HIV positive, it's a great tool to help you manage your health and well-being. I launched my new podcast series over there.
Yes.
Inside HIV. And that went very, very well.
I did have a listen. I was...
Oh, did you know?
I really enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
Very much so.
It starts off with a bit of a history lesson.
Yeah. It was a good story.
And
I like that.
Yeah, well, it's my version of the history, so, you know, some people might disagree with it. But check it out anyway at insidehiv.net. And I also had a chat to a lot of people about the research they were doing or the things that they were talking about. It was great.
Cool.
So, yeah. In fact...
We're going to hear some of that.
Let's have a listen to my chat with Dr. Vincent Cornelius, who has done some research on fuck buddies. Now, normally we would have our news around this time, but let's see, instead of news, let's have a listen to Vincent and his research on fuck buddies. I'm at Ashem 2016, and one of the things that we've always struggled with is the definition of partnerships in men who have sex with men. And I'm with Dr. Vincent Cornelius, who is with Melbourne Sexual Health Centre. He's done a bit of a study into what defines relationships between men who have sex with men, and what really is a fuck buddy. Vincent, welcome.
Thanks, Dean.
Fuck buddies are something that we think we know what that means, but what do doctors think fuck buddy means?
Well, doctors traditionally haven't spent a lot of time thinking about fuck buddies, and this is kind of the point of the study that I've done, is that doctors have generally categorised partners, sexual partners, as either regular partners or casual partners. And in sexual health, we've generally thought that people's casual partners were probably the ones that gave them the greatest risk of sexually transmitted infections and risk of HIV, whereas their regular partners they knew more about and they were probably less risk than their casual partners.
Now, we have all sorts of complex relationships, and some of those fuck buddies we might have regularly, but we don't have any sort of emotional investment, although when we're with them, we're very connected. Does that information get through to doctors? Do they understand that complexity?
Well, we're hoping that they will start to understand this complexity a bit more, because I guess there has been some literature recently looking at fuck buddies. So some of this stuff has come out of Amsterdam. But outside of that, there hasn't been a lot of work into it. So we understand fuck buddies to be regular sexual partners with whom guys generally don't have social commitment. So as in their partners who come over for sex.
But they don't go to the theatre.
They generally don't go to the theatre, because then you're really more talking about friends with benefits, which is, I guess, a separate category of sexual partners.
So friends with benefits is different again.
I think friends with benefits is different. I think friends with benefits, you might actually, when you say Netflix and chill, you might actually watch Netflix and chill. Whereas with fuck buddies, you know, that's just a euphemism.
So you wanted to work out how frequently these fuck buddy relationships or partnerships, how frequently that results in us having to go to the sexual health clinic and get tested.
Yeah, we really wanted to know, you know, how common are fuck buddy relationships, and what does this mean? What sort of risk do they carry for people in terms of sexually transmitted infections and HIV? So there was some work that has previously been done looking at how people negotiate sex with sexual partners, and they found that with fuck buddies, men tend to use a lot less condoms than with casual sexual partners, because I guess guys kind of feel, you know, you've seen each other a few times, you kind of feel you know each other a little bit, you've got a bit of trust there. In reality, you probably don't actually know very much about each other at all, but because you've got that trust there, you don't use condoms so much, ending up with an STI or perhaps HIV.
So over 6 months during 2015, all men who have sex with men that walk through the clinic, you ask them questions about their relationships, their sexual relationships.
Yeah, we asked them about the types of relationships they were having. So, and we were particularly interested in knowing, you know, of the regular partners that people were reporting, how many of these regular partners were actually fuck buddies rather than the sort of traditional boyfriend-partner type relationships, so that we can start to quantify how common it is for people to have fuck buddies and how common it is for people to classify their fuck buddies as regular partners, because that's what we haven't been capturing with our sort of regular versus casual partner categorization.
There's the problem. What did you find?
Well, what we found was, we surveyed about 1,000 guys, men who have sex with men, who came to the Melbourne Sexual Health Centre, and we found that 500 of those, so about half, reported having at least one regular partner. Now, of those regular partners, 60% of those partners were found to be fuck buddies, so the majority of regular partners were fuck buddies. Which was a little bit surprising, I guess, is just highlighting how common it is for guys to have fuck buddies.
So 60% said that their regular partners were a fuck buddy, not a husband or a boyfriend.
That's correct.
Right.
And then when we thought, okay, well, we know now that this is a very common type of regular partnership, and I'd say this in a bit of an obvious fashion, but it's important to keep in mind that these are regular partners, not casual partners. And then we looked at, you know, are the guys who have fuck buddies, are they somehow different from the guys who don't have fuck buddies? You know, what is their sexual health risk compared to guys who don't have fuck buddies? And we found that guys who have fuck buddies are more likely to also have casual sexual partners, and they're also more likely to have more casual sexual partners. So on average, a guy with a fuck buddy has 4 casual sexual partners, whereas a guy without a fuck buddy has 3 casual sexual partners. We also found that guys with fuck buddies tended to have more fuck buddies. So the average number of fuck buddies was 2. Well, the range was quite large, but the interquartile range is, sorry, it's a bit of a statistical word, but the interquartile range is 1 to 3, for those of you who like your stats. And then we looked at, you know, what is the risk of these guys having anal chlamydia? And the reason we looked at anal chlamydia is that anal chlamydia is obviously a marker of bottoming without condoms and is a marker of having a risk of getting HIV as a result.
And did you find that if people had a fuck buddy relationship, they were more likely to have unprotected anal sex?
Well, we looked at anal chlamydia as a surrogate for that, and we found that guys with fuck buddies had twice the rate of anal chlamydia than guys without fuck buddies.
And, of course, that is an indication that potentially they're exposing themselves to HIV transference as well.
Correct. That's the extrapolation from there. We couldn't look at HIV incidence directly because in these guys, the overall rate of HIV incidence, so the rate of new HIV infections, was too low to be able to differentiate between guys with fuck buddies and those without. But certainly we can use anal chlamydia as a surrogate risk marker.
And if we extrapolate out from patient zero, who has three fuck buddies or two fuck buddies, who and their friends have three or two,
plus their casual partners.
Plus those casual partners. It only takes patient zero to get HIV before very quickly we've got a major issue on our hands.
Well, I guess so. But I guess we were mainly interested in looking at this in order so that we can say to doctors, look, you really need to start rethinking how you ask people about their partners. We can't simply ask people, do you have regular partners and do you have casual partners? We need to ask them, of those regular partners, how many, you know, are any of those fuck buddies or are you talking about boyfriends? Because the risk implication is completely different. Our suggestion was, as a result of this study, it was twofold. A, for doctors who are working in the clinic, you should be asking about fuck buddies. And if people say to have a fuck buddy, then you should be talking about HIV reduction strategies like PrEP or pre-exposure prophylaxis. And from a research point of view, we really need to start rethinking the way we collect data about partnership types in sexual health studies. We should rethink just asking about casual and regular partners and start putting fuck buddies in as a category as well.
You haven't mentioned anal gonorrhea, and that, again, is up, and particularly up in men who have sex with men. That's got to be a major risk factor as well, because that can involve blisters and all sorts of things that create pathways.
Well, anal gonorrhea is very complicated, and I say this with qualification.
Well, you are a doctor.
Well, I have a special interest in gonorrhea in my PhD.
We've got Dr. Gono. Fantastic.
Gonorrhea is transmitted in many different ways. So anal chlamydia is a bit easier because anal chlamydia signifies bottoming without a condom. But anal gonorrhea can be transmitted by saliva. So if someone bottoms, but their the insertive partner, so their top, is using a condom, but they get rimmed before they get fucked, or they use saliva as a lubricant for anal sex, they can still get anal gonorrhea. So anal gonorrhea doesn't necessarily mean that that person's bottomed without a condom.
It's good to know that after 8 years doing this, I can still learn something. Well, thank you very much. So the take-home message here is multiple factors. Doctors, work out what a fuck buddy is. It might mean actually a lot more than you think it does. And fellows, it might mean a lot less than you think it does too.
Look, I'm certainly not saying people shouldn't have fuck buddies. I'm just saying that we need to open a dialogue between doctors and patients about, you know, having honest discussions about what partnerships people are having, so that we can all talk about what people's risk is and how they can manage that risk.
Now, anal chlamydia is an interesting one because you don't get that burning sensation when you're peeing. How do you know if you've got it?
You often don't, which in a way is unfortunate because if you don't know you ever have it, then you might not go and get tested and treated. Every now and then we do see a particularly nasty strain of chlamydia. So last year, about 18 months ago, I think it is now, we had a little mini epidemic of LGV, which is a
particular... That's a nasty one, isn't it?
It's a very nasty one. So it's a nasty strain of chlamydia that causes ulcers in your bum, and it can cause sort of tracts of infection going into the tissues around your bum, causing all sorts of problems. So, but that's a particular strain of chlamydia. Currently, we're not seeing that, but you know that may come back again sometime. But to answer your question, most of the time, you probably don't know you've got chlamydia of the bum. You may have a little bit of itching, you may have a bit of discomfort, you could have a little bit of bleeding. But really, the only way to know is to go get tested and have a swab and make sure you get tested at least every 3 months.
Dr. Gono, thank you very much for joining us, talking about our fuck buddy relationships. It's Dr. Cornelius. Thank you.
Thanks, Dean. Always a pleasure.
Hide and seek. Joy 94.9.
You are with Dean Beck and Benny B. Now, that is very interesting.
Very interesting. And not a conversation that I've had with a doctor, I feel, in some time, really, about...
Wrongly not had.
Yeah,
really.
About fuck buddies and... And I guess, what makes a fuck buddy? Well, how many times do I need to fuck someone for them to be a fuck buddy?
I would say at least three times.
Yep.
Okay. I think after twice, that's just good management. After three times, it might be more than just good management. You might have some sort of connection that clearly you're enjoying.
Three times, it's a Saturday night.
There you go. Coming up next, we're going to speak to Warwick Emmanuel about a very interesting fundraiser. One that I've never seen until this day. You are listening to Hide and Seek on Joy.
Oh, Barry, I am coming for you.
I like your spunk.
Well, you don't have to rub it in. Inappropriate.
You think?
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Just shake that ass. Joy. Get on it.
Just shake what your mama gave you. Get on it.
Dean Beck and Benny B with you on the show that explores sex, sexuality and self. And Ben, we have a man who has been advocating for the use of PrEP for quite some time. Yes. Warwick Emmanuel, welcome to you.
Thanks, Dean. Thanks, Ben.
Warwick, you're doing a fundraiser for PrEP Access Now, the community-based website and advocacy group that has been at the forefront of getting us to understand PrEP and what it's all about. But what do you need funds for?
We need funds for the basic operating of our group, yeah? Up until this point, we've relied on the benevolence of other organisations to meet most of our costs. And
individuals.
And individuals as well. Yeah. And we're wanting to be a little more independent and be able to go and do more work in education, in communication, and be more visible, I guess. And to do that, it costs a bit of money, yeah?
You also, and it's difficult to talk about this, but you also have, I call it a scholarship, but you also make available for those that perhaps might not otherwise are able to access a PrEP, you make it possible for them to get it.
That's right. Our access assistance scheme helps people who may have financial difficulties. They could be short-term financial difficulties or long-term. People who are unable to access PrEP because they may not have a Medicare card and not be able to get into a trial, and other people who may need short-term assistance, then we're able to provide them with that assistance. The funds that we're wanting to raise aren't directly related to purchasing PrEP for people. It's in our own organisational setup that we're wanting to use this money.
And so what does PrEP look like in Victoria right now? So as far as access, how are we going about getting it?
The PrEPX trial, yep, is full, and there's a waiting list for people to be able to get
That, I believe there's been some quarantined places for rural and regional people.
That's right,
people.
And yeah, I believe, yeah, that's rolling out very soon.
But the Melbourne Metro...
Melbourne Metro. Yeah. And we've found that in the last month, our the number of orders for PrEP that come through PrEP Access Now have increased, and that's probably because the Metropolitan trial's full.
Well, that's good. It means that people are still engaged with the issue, yes, and still wanting to get on it.
Yes, yeah. And there's people who are still looking to and thinking about it as well. I think, you know, there's a layers of people adopting anything, and there's the early adopters and so forth. Yeah, and so people are going to still be wanting to access PrEP for some time.
I reckon there's a podcast that PrEP Access Now should link on its website to, I'm trying to think of his name,
Dr. Bob Grant from the States.
Yes, from the USA.
Yes.
When he came to Australia and I did a one-on-one with him and also got to record the amazing presentation he did, where he spoke about early adopters and then, you know, the cynics, and then there was those that would sort of sit back and wait till other people had felt the lay of the land, and then they'd want to jump in. And that's kind of the majority of people that want to just hold back a little bit to see what's going on first before they get in and on board. Are you starting to see some of that, I guess, tsunami of the majority come towards you, or not quite yet?
I see...
That may not happen until government approves the bloody thing.
I see just on hookup sites, people saying that they're on PrEP, you know. It's
very visible.
Very visible, very common. People are happy and comfortable to say that they're using PrEP as part of their prevention strategies, and that's increasing. That's just anecdotally looking at the looking at the sites, in terms of community, certainly 12 months ago many people didn't know what PrEP was. You'd probably be hard pushed to find somebody who hadn't heard the term. They may not know what it's about, but they will have heard the term.
Sorry, Ben.
I was just going to ask, what are the major hurdles at the moment? So what is stopping people taking PrEP? Is it just we're not educated enough? What do you think it is?
The uptake is, I think, is pretty remarkable.
Uh-huh.
If we compare, say, to the United States, where there's been significant stigma issues around PrEP, that we don't have here. I think it's just a matter of people being comfortable with using it,
We should also highlight it isn't for everybody. And if you are in a monogamous relationship with someone who is positive and you're negative and they're undetectable, then PrEP may not be of any use to you because the chances are negligible anyway. And doctors would suggest and recommend against it. I mean, and that's that is the current state of play, Warwick. Whether we agree with it or not, that is the advice that they would give. Now, there's also those who perfect people in the perfect world that have sex perfectly, who condoms are working perfectly for, and that's great too.
Sure.
But for those that want to access it, I'm sure you would agree there is one flawed element to the current state of play with your own accessibility, and that is it isn't required that they visit their doctor every 3 months, and that's the missing link to the current way in which we can access PrEP by overseas importation.
It's an issue. And it's an issue that PrEP Access Now has really been aware of from our inception. We've always recommended that people have regular testing. Our PrEP cycle on our website that's been there forever recommends that. It is a weakness. Some pharmacies online don't require prescriptions. Some medical practitioners here will prescribe PrEP with a number of repeats. That is an issue as well.
Wow.
And that's about, I think, education as well. It's not just about not just about what people do, but if you're looking after your own well-being, and that's what PrEP is about, then 3 monthly testing is part of that. And that's something that we promote and always have promoted, and I think people are doing themselves a disservice if they're avoiding that.
Well, they're not just doing themselves a disservice, they're doing the entire community a disservice, because should they become positive during that time and they haven't been adhering to their medication, frankly, they're going to fuck it up for everyone.
And that's a concern as well,
When we come back, we're going to find out what this fundraiser, dare I say, fuckraiser, is all about. That's on Hide and Seek.
You want to play me hard? Well, then you better nut up, because I've swallowed just about as much as I can take from you.
This is Hide and Seek here on Joy 94.9. Benny B here. With me is Dean Beck. I almost forgot your name there. Sorry, Dean Beck.
Most people do.
Special guest in the studio tonight is Warwick Emanuel from Prep Access Now. Now, we're going to have a little chat about a little event called Blue that's coming up. Now, I have to say this. Let me say this. It's a fuck party. It's a fundraiser. It's a fuckraiser.
Thank you very much. Wow, what an interesting concept.
Well, PrEP is about prevention strategies around sex, yeah? What better way to promote PrEP? What better way to celebrate the prevention strategies that we now have? What better way to raise some money than have a fuck party?
Couldn't agree more.
I'm throwing money at you.
Now, the very amazing Associate Professor Edwina Wright at VAC's recent AGM during her keynote address said, I never thought it possible that we could get a pill that could prevent the transference of HIV, but I absolutely never thought possible we could get a pill that would prevent stigma. And it's amazing the degree to which PrEP is playing a part in that realm as well.
I think it's one of the, for me, it's one of the most important things, you know. It's about being able to get together with somebody and not have HIV in that space, yeah. It's also about being able to relate with people in a different way. It's taking away fears, it's taking away anxiety, but it's particularly about, for me, about getting or at least reducing stigma, yeah. I think part of the reason for that is that it's because it's biomedical, because we're talking about medications, we're talking about drugs, somebody who is living with HIV is taking medication, somebody who's affected by HIV but not living with HIV will be taking medication as well, and at the most basic level, there's some similarity there. Yeah?
It's a leveler, and I guess what it does is put control back in the hands of negative people. You know, it's one thing for a positive person to say I'm undetectable, but that involves trust. If you want to go without a condom, what PrEP does is put the control back in the hands of the negative person, and just like a condom would have done anyway. But it means that everyone's on the same playing field.
That's true. And it also, I think, hopefully removes from the person who's living with HIV that sense of responsibility about not passing on.
You've always been very clear on that.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, you've always made a point of highlighting that it's the positive person who's had to hold that responsibility card for so long.
Yes, and now somebody who's negative can hold that responsibility equally. Yeah,
as they should have anyway.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
Ben, anything to add? No, right. Now, this fuckraiser, Blue,
yes,
it is a fuckraiser. So yep. It involves money, which will go to Prep Access Now.
Yes.
But it also involves sex.
Yes.
Have you received any criticism for this rather interesting way in which you wish to raise funds?
We've received criticism that it's not sufficiently inclusive.
meaning what?
Meaning that it's a party that's for men, males who are interested in having sex with men, yeah? Right. And so in terms of the heterosexual community or broader community,
yeah, right.
Then it may be an issue. I should point out now, it was asked of me to point out that our invitation to come and party is for people who identify as male, including trans men, yeah,
right.
Who have sex with men. Yes, so that is an issue, but this is our first fundraiser.
I think it's very brave.
Yeah, I was just about to ask, is this the first one of its kind? And
I don't know of any other fuckraiser activity. I'd like to think that we're breaking new ground worldwide, but I don't know.
It may get a lot of attention.
It may get a lot of attention, indeed. Have you got... We've welcomed the opportunity to discuss it here, but have you been getting any other coverage in the media?
Oh, that's a good question. We've been promoting it ourselves, but no, as far as I know, we've had no other media coverage.
No, yeah. We might be able to fix that for you.
Yeah.
So it is on the 9th of December, which is a Friday night, 7 o'clock start.
Yes, and goes through to 2 a.m.
2 a.m., which would be Saturday morning.
Yes.
It's on at Club 80.
Yes.
Numbers, maximum capacity?
We're looking at a maximum of 120 people there. Yeah, and that's from a comfort point of view. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
And there have been other private functions that have been held in that space. Trough is one of them. Yes. How does this differ from? It's not licensed to begin with.
Yes, we're not having a licensed event. That costs money, and
also has restrictions around.
Yes, and there's restrictions, but particularly we're not wanting to. Well, we haven't got the money to spend on a license, so so that ruled that out,
and it complicates things.
Yes, yes, and we're looking at it being an enjoyable evening for people. It's not a dance party. It's not a licensed event. It's a fuck party. Yeah.
Excellent. So
the rawest sense of the word, dare I say.
Brilliant. The party's a huge success. What does that mean for Prep Access now?
It means we'll have some funds to do things like print business cards instead of having to go and ask somebody, please, may we have some business cards? It'll mean being able to have promotional material that we can give to people as well when we go to events. Mm. At the moment, we're kind of... we're restricted in that way, and so that'll be useful as well.
What is it going to mean for your organisation when, and let's say when, the government finally lists PrEP and its availability through the PBS? What do you think PrEP Access Now will morph into?
I think there'll be still a role around advocacy and a role around promoting PrEP. I think, if anything, we're probably going to align with our positive brothers and positive community and work on stigma, particularly.
There's still a lot of people that don't get it. Now, I'm not just talking the stigma side of things, that don't get PrEP. Like, they just don't have their heads around the fact that this is a functioning, workable, viable option.
Yes. Yeah.
And how long do you think before we can get that message out?
I can't estimate that. I can't estimate. You know, there's on the eastern side of the country, there's a lot of movement around PrEP. In other parts of the country, they're a little bit behind, and that needs to be addressed.
We do actually live in a bit of a bubble here in Victoria and in Melbourne, and we should be mindful, I think, of that fact. And PrEP Access Now is a national platform.
That's right, and we've been engaged in a number of, well, I think all states around PrEP and people being able to get it. And in some ways, being able to work with AIDS councils and so forth to be able to add some weight to discussions and so forth.
You're quite political too in spots. Yes, and I guess you have to be.
Yes, we are, and I guess that's part of our advocacy as well, our advocacy role. We're members of the Victorian Prep Accord, and we agree to work cooperatively with other groups and so forth. But and sometimes we're political as well. That's I guess part of the job.
I have no doubt that we would not be as far down the track locally here in Victoria that we are if it wasn't for the advocacy work that Prep Access Now and others have done. It's been quite remarkable.
Prep for Change, Prep Access Now, as community groups that kind of sprung up for a need, which is kind of going back in time, but useful, I think, useful to be able to forward the discussion, forward the activity, and make a bit of a difference.
There's a question I wanted to ask you, Warwick. When it comes to PrEP, I have read many different places the effectiveness of PrEP. It's quite often listed. It's different. Some say sometimes it's over 90% effective, sometimes it's 99.5%. I have seen so many different numbers listed. Is that a huge is that a factor?
Issue for people?
It's a barrier.
Yeah.
I think
that's what's stopping people taking it on more.
People read different numbers, and the different numbers can mean different things depending on whether we're talking about a trial or whether we're talking about something else. I just think that PrEP is more effective than condoms. I can take a tablet and I don't need to worry about whether I've got a condom on. I'm not saying you should or shouldn't use a condom, but it's something that I can rely on.
Here's the thing that sticks in my mind regarding that, and the way scientists and also statisticians communicate those numbers is very confusing at times. But regardless of any of that, we do know that in all of the world, and there are literally hundreds of thousands of people currently taking PrEP around the world, we do know that there are only two cases where those individuals who have been compliant with their medication, meaning they've taken their pill every day, there are only two cases where they have contracted HIV. And in both instances, it's been a resistant strain that they just happened to get. A strain that in this country is extremely rare, and even globally is rare, but it has pockets of more concentration than it does anywhere else, and it's in both instances in those pockets where that has occurred. I think two out of you multiply those individuals right by the amount of times they've had sex, right, we're talking millions and millions and millions of sexual interactions that have been protected.
And I think in a different way, look at the situation without PrEP. People still acquire HIV.
Regardless of that, the efficacy of condoms is as low as 70% when you actually dig down to the nitty gritty. And most reports rate PrEP is around 90-95%. And that's even with only two cases of with compliant people. So I think your odds are looking pretty good if you're on the pill and you're sticking to it. Sticking to it's the thing. And the other thing is testing. You must continue to get tested. Enough of the lecture. We need to take a break. But stay with Hide and Seek. We'll find out a little more about getting blown. No, it's not called that. It's called Blue. Next.
The Arts Centre, Commonwealth Bank, Happyton, Jeep, Mercedes-Benz, QBE, NAB, Sony, Suzuki, Stan Cash, Bank of Melbourne, 40 Winks, Holden, BFL, Bear Street. What do they all have in common? They've all been proud Joy sponsors, promoting their products and services to Melbourne's largest LGBTIQ audience.
Hi, this is Joy sponsor Matt Anderson from Commercial Road Accounting. There are so many reasons why one should support Joy, especially as a sponsor. But one great reason is that Joy has the largest LGBTIQ audience around. I have been a sponsor for well over 10 years myself. You can benefit from supporting Joy too. So go on, give them a call now.
Head to joy.org.au/sponsors and tell us how we can help you, or call our sponsorship team on 1300-JOY-949. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Hide and seek.
You are with Dean Beck, Benny B, and our guest Warwick Emmanuel. We've been talking about a fuckraiser for Prep Access now. It is called Blue, and it is on just after World AIDS Day, which is next Thursday, in case you wondered. No, it's not. It's actually a week after that. It's on the 9th of December, Friday night, 7 p.m. It is at the Dungeon at Club 80. But if you want to know more about it and you want to know how to get a ticket, go to prepaccessnow.com.au. That's their website. And head to the More tab, M-O-R-E, more, and you'll find all about Blue. Did I get it right?
Indeed.
Thank you very much. And good luck with that.
Thank you.
I hope you can raise lots of dollars and do more of the good work that you've been doing, because it has made a difference to the community and also to those people who are actually on PrEP, because it's made them feel that there is a support network for them as well, and yep. That's important.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, Benny, we've got a couple of other things to plug.
We do.
We are in plug mode.
Plug mode. Where should we start with? You've got a little sum coming up. Do we want to...
Yes. Actually, Warwick, you can comment on this. We have my seminar coming up next Tuesday night at Manhouse. It is called Lend a Hand. You've been along and seen it.
Yes, I have.
Your thoughts?
I think it's a great introduction for people who are... inquiring about or starting on a journey in fisting. Yeah.
Did you learn anything?
Yes, I did. I learnt that there's a range of different people who are at different stages and sometimes have misconceptions around the art and practice of fisting. And I think it's a really useful activity for people to go along to find out more, yeah?
There you go. They're his words, not mine. Lend a Hand seminar next Tuesday night on at Manhouse. Head to manhouse.com.au, the website for bookings. And you must book to get along, but come along. It's free and you'll learn lots, I promise you. So there's that. Also, check out My Life Plus app.
Yes.
If you are HIV positive, it's brilliant. MyLifePlus.com.au. Don't forget, World AIDS Day is next Thursday, so a week and a bit from today. And there is a whole raft of wonderful community events. If you head to Joy's website, you will see on the front page there all about World AIDS Day and the activities. There's a great launch and also a community forum that our wonderful commissioner is hosting this year. Last year's was the one that I hosted on PrEP, actually. So all over to Ro Allen for this year's great presentation. It is on at the AMREP Theatre, all of the activities this year. So that's next to the Alfred Hospital. Many of you will know where that is. Finally, do check out my podcast series. InsideHIV.net is the website. Have a listen to it.
It's great.
You might even learn something there. Thanks very much, Benny.
No worries. It's good.
I'm going to finish off, because I promised her this, having a listen to Courtney Act and a beautiful rendition of some of Sia's songs. Till next time, keep well. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership. giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.